Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, reading from verse 1 to verse 7. For to us a child is born, but there'll be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Epistle of Titus, in the second chapter, starting in the 11th verse. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. This is our story, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, I knew I was going to do that, was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Ryan, as Jeffrey mentioned. and I am the pastor here. And I just want to give a special welcome to any of you that are new here for the first time or have come with family members, whether they dragged you willingly or unwillingly. We are very glad to have you here with us tonight. Now, when it comes to talking about Christmas, there is a lot that becomes very Hallmark, very rote, that we assume we know what this story is about. And so tonight, I want to begin with a Christmas text that most people never really hear at Christmas. It doesn't sound like a manger scene at first. It sounds kind of like a fantasy or a vision, but it is showing us the spiritual meaning of what's happening at the birth of Jesus. So I know we've done 3 scripture readings already tonight, but I want to do one more short one from Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Just listen to it. You can even close your eyes and try and picture this, because it's a wild one to try and picture. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, there are many different texts of Scripture that help us uncover the beauty, power, and significance of what is truly taking place at the birth of Jesus. Now, some passages highlight the promises in ancient history. Some focus on the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph. Others bring us to the angels and the shepherds. Others still draw our attention to the wise men or to the dark shadow of hostile kings. But this one text of Scripture, strange to our ears and easy to overlook at Christmas, shows us the spiritual and cosmic significance of the Nativity. You can't see it up there because it's too dark. But I asked our friend Stephen Mensch, can you just wave a little bit, Stephen? Stephen is a brilliant artist and just loves putting pen to paper to try and capture images like this. So we're going to find another way to show you this because our projector kind of stinks. Sorry about that. But he tried to kind of show what's happening in this story here. Now, the Bible is made up of different genres. And this is one of them. This is apocalyptic writing. So this is different from the Gospels or the Epistles. This is like a spiritual vision that the Apostle John is having. And so in Revelation chapter 12, it pulls back the curtain and shows us what is taking place in the spiritual world as the Christ child comes into our world. So if the Gospel of Luke gives us the camera on the ground, roads, registrations, shepherds, swaddling cloths, Revelation gives us the camera in heaven. It shows us the unseen stakes of Christmas, the hidden battle behind the manger, and the astonishing way God chooses to intervene in our world in order to save it. And the first thing Revelation chapter 12 wants us to see is not the dragon. It's not the battle. It's not the terror. It wants us to see a woman and a child. Hear it again. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She's pregnant and crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. It begins by telling us what Christmas really is. It is the moment God's long-promised rescue arrives in the world. This birth is not only a family story on earth, it is the climax of God's covenant story, promise moving into fulfillment, hope becoming history. That is why the woman appears as a sign. The imagery marks her as the representative of God's people. The crown of 12 stars echoes the 12 tribes, Israel's long waiting, faith, and longing gathered into this moment. And Mary stands at the center of it as the one who receives the promise, believes the promise, and bears the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, comes as God's compassion in the flesh, entering our pain to be with us, taking our sin and its consequences upon himself, and revealing the saving heart of God. How far God will go and how deep he will descend to win us back from evil. This is God's intervention moment. We all pray for God to intervene in our lives. Christmas marks the moment that God answers that prayer for all of human history. Christmas, then, is God keeping his word. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. So when salvation appears, Revelation wants us to see what happens next. The darkness recognizes it. The next sign is not cozy. The next sign is a dragon. Revelation shows us what happens the moment God's promised rescue arrives. Evil reacts and pushes back on it. Verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Now bear with me. This isn't a child's story add-on. Every Christmas, I force my kids to watch Lord of the Rings with me. Yeah, it's obligatory. They have to do it. And the extended editions, because we need all 13 hours of Lord of the Rings. And so in it is dragons and orcs and elves and all these fantasy things. And I love that stuff. This uses this type of imagery, not because it's make-believe, but because it's an analogy to help us understand how serious this is. This dragon, this marker of evil, which we'll look at in a second, isn't watching from a distance. It's hovering over Mary as she gives birth to the child. So listen to it in verse 4. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. What a picture of evil. Isn't that terrible? Right? Birth is the beginning of life. It's beauty. It's this incredible sacred moment. And evil is crouched waiting to end life. Isn't it terrible? This is what evil is like, though. It devours. It does not create. It consumes. It does not heal. It corrodes. It does not unite. It tears apart. Revelation names this evil plainly. That ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. The Bible speaks this way because it matches what we already know from our lived lives. Evil corrupts the heart of the individual, pulls apart families and communities, spreads through fear and anxiety, gives birth to violence, and is utilized by the corrupt and the power-hungry because devouring always seeks a throne. Revelation is not trying to make us superstitious. It's trying to make us clear-eyed, and Christmas is contested ground. Now, Revelation tells us why the dragon is here. It says, she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. This is not just a baby who might become important. This is the king entering the world. He is the king who understands his people as one of them, because he comes to us from inside the human story. He is the king who will sacrifice himself to save his people, because the rescue God promised would require a real victory over sin, evil, and death. He is the king who uses his power to triumph over evil without becoming evil himself. And his reign spreads by goodness, not dominance, because his kingdom grows through truth and mercy and love rather than coercion. And here's the stunning line. The dragon cannot stop him, even in his infant state. Here's what it says in verse 5, "But her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Revelation compresses the whole gospel into this one sentence. The child born in humility goes all the way through suffering, death, resurrection, life, and ascension authority, ending not in defeat, but on the throne. It's basically saying all of Jesus' work and ministry that he's going to accomplish in his life is unstoppable by evil. Evil could not stop it, and Jesus completes that work once and for all. And so Christmas is the beginning of a salvation that will not be stopped. Is that good news? Now, God's conquest does not begin with dominance. It begins with humility. The dragon devours, Christ gives. The dragon dominates, Christ spreads goodness. The dragon's power is fear, coercion, accusation, and destruction. Christ's power is love that enters our suffering, truth that exposes lies, mercy that absorbs evil without becoming evil, and holiness that refuses to be corrupted. Jesus is one of a kind. I think this is what I find so profound. Some of my preparation for Christmas was to read again all of these significant history or individuals throughout human history, to read again about other religions in the world, to read again about other theories of how to fix what's wrong in the world. And as you read every one of these alternative options out there, and then you compare them to the person and work of Jesus, it becomes clear that nobody is like him. Nobody. He is the anomaly in human history. Nobody is as good as him. Nobody is as consistently loving as him. Nobody offers an intervention that does something. And for 2,000 years, we have millions and millions of people that go, "Before Jesus, my life was this hot mess. And then I found Jesus, and it changed everything for me." Anyone agree with that statement? Just three of us? Right, we're here because Jesus worked for us, true? We're celebrating Christmas because for us, this is where it started. This is where the change was born, is that God's solution is born right into our human mess. And he's not this heavy-handed, mean, demanding God. He's a loving God who's humble enough to enter into the mess with us to save it. This is all incredibly good news because it all reveals God's approach to us. It's gentle, kind, understanding, and comforting, all while being powerful enough to save, powerful enough to heal, powerful enough to restore, powerful enough to enliven, and powerful enough to defeat evil. There are some Christian traditions that when they make their nativity scenes, they add a tiny little dragon to the scene to just show that Jesus as the child is enough to triumph over evil. That we're not afraid of this stuff because we know that Jesus is big enough. Now, here's the thing. We all know that there's darkness at work in our world. I don't have to point it out to you. We know darkness seeks to devour everything that is good. We also know that this darkness is not just at work in the world, but it's at work within us too. We participate in the darkness. We spread darkness sometimes. That this thing at work in us leads us to destructive desires, to dark feelings, to terrible thoughts and harsh words and hurtful actions. It's the great irony of Christmas, especially, I think, for parents, is we're building up to this day where we're trying to show our kids we love them, right? All the while, the stress level is so ridiculously high that we don't even feel like ourselves by the time we get to Christmas Day. I was saying to my kids last year, we stayed up till like 2 o'clock in the morning Christmas Eve to wrap presents. And I've done this every year for 20 years, but somewhere along the last 20 years, I got old and I can't handle that anymore. And so last year I stayed up till 2, I was wrapping presents, 2:30 rolls around, and we finally go to bed and we wake up crack of dawn, well, before dawn on the island. It's like 6 hours before dawn. And we opened presents together and I had such a migraine, I just went back to sleep for the rest of the day. That's not fun. That doesn't feel loving. I feel like a grump. I feel like a Grinch. And that's the irony, I think, of Christmas. It's like, this is so hard to pull off. Anyone feel like that? And so I think this is the point, is to go, why? And then what comes out of us in those tired moments is, you know, harshness. The opposite of love, the opposite of generosity, short-tempered. We watch our kids open their presents and go, "Ooh, I don't like this." And we go, "There's the dragon." Right? We see evils in the world, but it's also in us. Is it fair to say? I'm not calling any of my kids specifically a dragon. I'm just saying there's evil in us. But when the evil seems to rise, it leads to something called despair. Despair is what we feel when we realize that we are too weak to defeat the dragons in this world, in our own lives, in ourselves. And I hear this from a lot of people, this sense of there's too much dark in the world and it's winning. Hope, on the other hand, is what we feel when we realize that even the weakness of God, this small child, defeats the dragon of all dragons. He defeats the dragon by the humility of his life. He defeats the dragon by the sacrifice of his death. He defeats the dragon by the power of his resurrection. And he will defeat the dragon once and for all with his ascension to the throne by his final judgment. Look, despair is the settled conclusion that the dragon wins. Hope is the settled confidence that Jesus has come and therefore the dragon will not have the last word. Now, the question I want to leave you with tonight is this. What's the story? What's the spirit you want to live by? What's the story and the spirit you want to pass on to your children? Is it hope or is it despair? This Christmas Eve, the Christ child lays before you and your life in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and offering you freedom from darkness, salvation from sin, the power to love, and an imperishable hope for the future. So how do we receive this? We receive this by this ancient thing we call faith. Faith really is just trust. It's trusting that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus has done what he says he has done for us, and that Jesus will work for me just like he has worked for so many others. For us to get in on this hope, we have only to make the decision in our hearts that I want to trust in this Jesus for my specific story, for my specific life, for my specific hardships and how the darkness is impacting me. I want in on this Jesus who saves. So let's take a moment of quiet reflection, of intimate prayer just before you and your God, the creator of the universe. Has despair crept into your heart this holiday season? Do you feel overwhelmed by the darkness in this world? Or have you come face to face with the darkness in yourself? Let the light of Christ break into your heart and offer you hope. Let God intervene on your behalf. And together in our hearts, let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I am ready for and need your hope. I need your intervention in my life through Jesus. And I invest my trust in him. To trust in him and to follow him. Let me see your light break through into the darkness of this world in my life tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.